sharpen you to a sword, piercing to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, this morning to the doctrine of suffering, we'll just pick up on 9, verse 4 of our notes. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment in this academic setting that God has established for believers to assemble themselves together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life. God has provided a proper chain of command in this respect. He's provided the proper spiritual gifts in this regard, and under the particular gift, communicating gift of the pastor teacher, of the truth of Bible doctrine, is so designed to be taught to those who so desire to understand the truth of God's Word. Obviously, part of the other requirements is the fact that the believer priest is in fellowship when they study God's Word, unhindered by the SCA in this respect, so they can have a clear read in regards to what God has to say without inserting their own ideas and distortions in this regard. So with that in mind, we give everybody ample opportunity to rebound, which is the mechanics of securing the filling ministry of God's Holy Spirit, so we can once again be predisposed otherwise for the study of God's Word this morning. With that in mind, we'll start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, let every man be a liar, but your word stands forever. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit will invite us to the truth and matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, biblical teaching makes it very clear that mankind, all mankind, undergoes suffering, and that the believer is not immune to this particular aspect in regards to living their life. The believer has potential in regards to undergoing one of two types of suffering, and usually it's a mixture of. There's deserved suffering, that's that which we bring upon ourselves based on our own sin activity and disobedience of God's plan in our life. And then there is undeserved suffering, which is preferred suffering. Obviously, this suffering, when it's fielded by the believer in fellowship, and they're applying the truth of Bible doctrine, being innocent in regards to any unrighteousness and enduring the antagonism of others and things of that nature around them. It is this suffering that brings about grace and favor from God towards the believer, to include, obviously, their own SG3 package in this respect. Now, obviously, and often, you hear people in the cosmos going, well, if there's God, you know, why would he allow suffering to exist on this planet? A loving God would not allow this to happen. Well, these people are just ignorant and stupid in regards to the fact that unrighteousness reigns on this planet. And when you have unrighteousness, you have suffering. And where you have unrighteousness, you also have judgment, which is part of God's reaction in regards to his absolute righteousness in this respect. And Roman numeral 5 deals with the very reasons why suffering exists, and God allows suffering for the believer. A suffering is evidence of a world under judgment, and even creation suffers and will face demise. God put man in authority over his creation. And man fell in the garden. And in so doing, even the world was cursed by association in this respect. And our very world awaits the very day, as is personified, the righteousness coming upon this planet. Obviously, when Jesus Christ returns his second advent and establishes his millennial kingdom, a great reversal in regards to the environment of this planet will occur, and where you have catastrophes and things of this nature, essentially these things will be dismissed and the planet will flourish. But ultimately, the planet is destined for a complete and total removal and demise, and a new heaven and a new earth will be created in its stead. B, it is evidence of the cosmic system suffering is under the rulership of Satan, negative volition, and the SCA hostile to God. How Satan maintains control over the world, over mankind, is man's own negative volition and the SCA. Job 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2 of Job, looks at the fact that Satan is free and roams about this planet, and he constantly As other scriptures also makes clear, seek audience with God to try to bring suffering upon believers in accusation, making accusations and things of this nature. And Job is a unique example of this very fact. Chapters 1 and 2, in chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Experientially, his face too was adjusted and in line with God's plan. And he had seven sons, and three daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And God bless Job in regards to his righteousness and pursuit of God's plan for his particular life. And his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, as Job did continually, recognizing the principles of teaching behind sacrifice, etc., during his period in existence. Now there was a day, as Job was just living his life, doing his thing, being blessed. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Sons of God there is technical for angelic creation. And Satan, obviously, is granted audience before God still today. And he came, and the Lord said to Satan, and as we know, God set Satan up in regards to all this, that it brings about the attitude of Satan and his animosity in regards to especially believers. And he says, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Again, documentation that Satan doesn't reside in hell, as everybody in the cosmos like to think about Satan. No, he is free. And the New Testament tells us that he's like a roaring lion roaming around seeking someone to devour. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. That proclamation regards to Job sets Job above the rest of mankind at this point in time in history in the pursuit of righteousness and his positive volition. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him in this house and all that he has on every side? God's protecting hand and blessing that he brought upon Job. You have blessed the work of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, he will surely curse you to your face. In other words, he's accusing God of partiality and also being like a sugar daddy to Job. And and Job just has a good life, and that good life was renewed, and things occurred to him, then Job would have a whole different attitude in regards to God. And this is all a lesson in regards to positive volition. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him, so that Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. And the rest of the chapter, and also chapter 2, gets back in regards to continuing actions on Satan's part with respect to Job. And we know from the story of Job, the immense suffering that he underwent, and it was undeserved in regards to why it came about. And it came about simply as God setting him up as an example in regards to being positive and what the positive will endure in order to maintain their relationship and pursuit of righteousness towards God. But it also brings about the fact that apart from Satan intervening, if you will, and taking his role in this regard, the suffering, we would not have had the story probably in this respect in regards to Job. But Satan is behind the suffering that came about upon Job. Also Romans 1:18. But a God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So judgment comes from God. That is His demand of His absolute righteousness in regards to unrighteousness. And man obviously is filled with unrighteousness. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men taken by force in regards to the attack upon the Christian world. 1 Corinthians 5:5, the antagonism and negative volition. I have decided to deliver such a one here. This particular individual is the incestuous Corinthian, based on his gross Vedic reversionism, to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. When they run under the negative volition and be a reversionist, then they are at the hands in regards to the cosmos and all that the cosmos will bring upon them in this respect. And this in regards to the kinds of diseases, etc., that come upon failing reversionists. 1 Timothy 1:19. In regards to believers jumping ship spiritually, etc. 18, Paul to Timothy, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by then you may fight the good fight, keeping faith. Faith there is passive with respect to Bible doctrine, and a good conscience, which some have repudiated literally, and suffered shipwreck concerning their faith. And spiritual shipwreck and the repudiation. And this brings out the fact that believers can essentially get under their SCA and do the very same things that unbelievers do. Revelation 2:10. In regards to the church of Smyrna and the period of church age history, as well as believers within this particular local church, do not fear what you are about to suffer. The devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Looking at the orchestration of negative volition in the cosmos with visions of satanic design in regards to bringing Christians under suffering, imprisonment, etc., that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the wreath of life. Suffering produces the virtue of patience and building of endurance in the Christian way of life. It brings in the health skill spiritual character. Romans 5:3-4. Not only this, but we, all company, also absolved in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance or patience. And patience, proven character, and proven character, hope. James 1:2-4. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials or tests, knowing that testing of your faith produces endurance. Obviously, suffering is part of the test process. And let endurance have its perfect result for one who will endure in that regards, maintaining their spiritual integrity. The result will be making the maturity adjustment. He may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So believers can glorify God in our witness of the life. Again, undergoing undeserved suffering. and enduring for the kingdom of God, the truth and Bible doctrine, and fellowship glorifies God. 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good works, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Those who potentially might be positive and see the witness of life or otherwise antagonistic towards believers, making the salvation of judgment. And obviously, they will be glorifying God based on the witness of life of the individual. 4:16, verse 2. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. suffering is a test of our doctrinal tenacity and positive volition to the truth. Again, Revelation 2:10, we read that earlier. The Church of Smyrna. It is opportunity to maximize our SG3 account. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Yeah. For momentary light affliction is producing forth an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Alright, Roman numeral 10, to conclude the doctrine, some things for us to keep in mind in regards to the sufferings we experience in our test. A, the Lord knows your sufferings and will deliver you from them all. God is omniscient, nothing is past him. He's always known from eternity past what we've experienced. And there is always ultimately deliverance. With ultimate deliverance, obviously, sometimes being death and getting us out of this world. Exodus 3:7. We also will provide that which is necessary to get us through the test. The Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who were in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I'm aware of their sufferings. Israel under Egyptian slavery and domination and suffering, and God knows. Psalm 9:12. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion, declare among the peoples his works. For he, the Lord, who requires blood, remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. And 35:10. Song of David, all my bones will say, Lord, who is like you? Who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him? God loves to take the impossible, make it possible, to help the weak, in spite of others who may be more powerful than they are. And the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him. So God's aware of all these things, and he is the one that ultimately delivers. That he, God, will not put upon you tests that you are not ready to handle. You're facing a test in the Christian walk, and you've got the doctrine to deal with it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No testing has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, the tips of life. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. So with the testing, will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. The continual keeping your head above water through your tests, through your sufferings, and maintaining your course. Now see, he will supply you with the grace to handle any test. Proverbs 3:34. So he, the Lord, scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. His attitude with respect to negative volition versus positive volition. The failure to handle persecution and testing explains why some kill off and off. Matthew 13. And 21, again, the parable of the sower. Verse 18, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. The sower is the communicator of the truth of doctrine, to see his doctrine itself. And this parable delineates volition at different levels. And the first one is the seed that falls on the hard soil, the hard hand soil on the road, and in the parable. And that reflects negative volition, of which the cosmos and all of its distractions under Satan keeps them distracted and uninterested. Keeping their negative volition and remain uninterested in the truth of doctrine, and they remain in unbelief. This is the one on whose seed was sown beside the road. And then you have the different levels of volition with respect to believers. And the one on whose seed was sown on the rocky places where they tilled the land, but yet there were large stones, etc., that not removed, unable to remove because they're so big, and the soil above it is very shallow and not enough for plants to truly grow and be nourished. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. As the believer. See, he hears the word and receives it. Yet he has no firm root in himself. And this reflects upon volition that is positive, positive at the salvation adjustment. And beyond that, if there's any phase two positive volition, it is very short-lived, if any at all. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Just first, you know, aspect in regards to possibility or whatever comes upon him, his life not going like he should think it should. You know, the rest of Bible doctrine in regards to his life, he just caves immediately. Then you have the one on whose seed was sown among the thorns. That is the ridge rows, thorny bushes that they would put around fields to help keep out predators. And there, obviously, seed would land over there in those areas, but they would essentially choke them out eventually. They would grow to a certain degree, but not really become amenable to be part of the harvesting. This is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the world. And it becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful looks at the fact here that not that they don't have any divine good production, but it's not a plant that the farmer's going to go out and harvest. It's too immature. It never reached the maturity level. Worth their time and effort. And then you have the ultimate quality believer, which is worthy of being harvested. And that's verse 23, and the one on whose seed was sown on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Those who will make mature adjustment, you even have those who will apply at higher levels than others. You will not face unique tests. Or if you've gone through, somebody's gone through it before, and they're probably going through it even now. 1 Peter 5:9. But resist the infirmity of your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers who are in the world. Compare 1 Thessalonians 2:14. For you, brothers, became imitators of the church of God and Christ Jesus that are in Judea, For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. And in 2 Corinthians 1:7. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Any suffering renders you worthy of God's kingdom. To endure on behalf of the plan of God makes you worthy. 2 Thessalonians 1:5. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgments, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. As Paul speaks in verse 4, therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. And there stands for the truth. That indeed your sufferings help complete the measure of suffering of the corporate body of Christ necessary before the church's glorification. There's a lot of mass sufferings for each individual is there, as well as corporately for the church itself before Christ's return. Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings, Paul speaking, for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body, which is the church, and filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. So bring the church age to conclusion means not only bringing in the last person God has deemed to be a believer during this particular time in history, but that the last aspect of suffering that's going to come upon the church will also occur. Age. Our sufferings are designed to cause us to place our trust in God and not our own abilities. As with all testing, it's designed to help us build up our strength and faith rest, and to cast our concerns to God at His feet, recognizing His grace, His power, etc., and living this life. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. Indeed, we have the sense of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. In regards to Paul and the sufferings he underwent in his ministry, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Recognize and have complete confidence that God will provide everything in deliverance to complete their ministry, and he's faithful to that fact. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. The decisions you make in causing volition, in embracing God, in faith rest, is entrusting your soul to Him. We are to avoid fear and soul pain. Under suffering, it's easy to get under sin fear. And you are to deal with that when it raises this ugly head. And not become worried, maintain your discipline in life in regards to your NPR and application, prayer life, etc. Romans 8:15-17. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again through your salvation. That's not what it's intended to do. It's intended to remove sin fear. Fear of all that the SCA and the destructive measures of it can bring upon the individual. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, the like our term daddy, father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Embracing God truly in the personal love relationship that exists between him and his children. Hebrews 10, 32 through 39. An exhortation to these Jewish Christians, but remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, different kinds of sufferings they underwent, and their tests from their own countrymen and those around them, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. Sometimes suffering come upon you just because you associate with other part of the volition. People don't like particular people, and their associates then automatically become targets too. For you show sympathy to the prisoners, stepping out to putting their own lives at risk in regards to those who are in prison for the faith. Showing up, recognizing that others may take issue with them, try to throw them in prison, and accept joyfully the seizure of your property, the loss of details. Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, and you've got to continue to persevere. All of us have to keep our eyes focused on our eternal state and our eternal disposition. If you expect to reach the end, you've got to get your eyes beyond the physical in this respect. For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul, God's essence, has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preservation or preserving of the soul. Today, we are to draw upon examples. We are to draw upon examples of all these believers before us and emulate their faith. James 5:10. As an example, brothers, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The prophets of the Old Testament, just about every one of them underwent suffering, usually by the hands of their own kin, of their own kind, and their own racial family, because their family was generally negative. The prophet had to get up and tell them what kind of idiots they were, and that God hated them for that. And he was against them because of their negative volition. And people don't like to hear that. Let's see. And they can't get their hands on God, so what they're going to do is find the closest human target that's burning their ears over this thing. And that's who they go after. Okay, those that persevere are counted in the group of believers that are blessed. And that was James 5:11. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. God ultimately delivered Job. Job wasn't perfect in his death, but he delivered him and blessed him even greater than before. All suffering and causes will be completely eliminated in the eternal state of the new creation. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. no more sadness, no more sorrow. Revelation 21:4. And he will wipe away in regards to the new eternal state every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Well, I'm flipping the quarter. Rather than giving the doctrine of authority, about 15 minutes left, we're going to have our annual business meeting. People are here, we'll just have it over. So, everybody go ahead and take a 15-20 minute break. And we'll zoom back here. We'll go ahead and take care of church business with our heads bowed. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. Yes, you bless us in the decision we've made to the local church today and taking care of business. Bring us back to the next Bible class, safe and sound, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you sensitive to the festival? Absolutely.